I don't know why particularly this year I thought of this, but it seems to me that the wise men are really out of place in this story. Not that they don't belong there, but that in terms of where they are and who they're interacting with, they're very much out of place. And it struck me this year particularly that's a common experience of us all, no matter where we come from, that there are times when we join groups or we end up in places where we just really don't seem to fit. A couple of years ago, I won two tickets to a rock concert, and it was down in Lawrenceville, and it was at this little divey kind of bar, and I took a friend with me, and it was terrific. I loved it. But it was loud, and it was noisy, and it was just fantastic. I had a great time. And I took my friend, and my friend and I, as we're driving home, he says to me, tomorrow is my doctor's appointment for my life insurance physical. And I said, yeah. I said, oh, no, I didn't know that. And he said, I hope they don't do a hearing test because I'm going to fail. And he felt out of place. He felt like this wasn't his kind of music exactly. But I thought it was fantastic. I remember when Jennifer and I did the exchange in Germany. One year I came over to Germany and I served as a pastor in Germany for a year. And I remember getting ready in the vestry with all the people from the church. They made a big deal out of the first service where I preached. And they did a similar thing to what we just did with consistory in terms of ordaining and installing me to do the ministry for the year. And I have this pectoral cross that one of my congregation members in Lebanon had given me as a gift. She gave me a lot of these throughout the years. And this one is olive wood from the Holy Land. So it was very precious to me and continues to be precious to me. But I wore basically what you see today. It was the same stuff, the stole, the black robe called a Geneva gown, and this pectoral cross. What I did not know and what seemed to happen in the vestry, now there's five or six of us in this little small vestry, is a fancy name for a walk-in closet, basically. What I did not know is that in Germany, the only people who wear pectoral crosses are the bishops. So all of a sudden, when I got dressed and everything, and all these people are crammed into this room, everybody goes and breathes in this. And it was a really uncomfortable moment where you didn't know what was wrong, but something was obviously wrong. And I didn't find out until, I don't know, weeks later what actually the problem was. It was because perhaps I thought I was a little more of myself than other people, but that wasn't the intention. But you know what it's like to be the one person in the room who just doesn't feel like you belong with everybody else. And the Magi are the only people in the story that are not Jewish. I mean, that's interesting to me. I mean, the shepherds are Jewish, Joseph and Mary and baby Jesus are Jewish, and King Herod is Jewish, and all Jerusalem is mentioned in the story. Everybody there is Jewish, and they're surrounded by Jews. And then I thought, you know, the image that we have of the shepherds with the camels and the gold and the frankincense and the myrrh, they're going to where? They're going, what did we celebrate a couple weeks ago? We celebrated a stable and we celebrated a manger. We celebrated a couple who didn't have enough pull in Bethlehem, Joseph's hometown, to pull some strings or to stay with somebody. They were so on the outs, in other words, that they couldn't find a decent place to stay in Bethlehem. Did you ever think about that? That's Joseph's hometown. And they have to stay. There isn't room for them in the inn. They couldn't find a relative that would put them up. Maybe that has something to do with the fact that Mary was pregnant before they were married. Maybe there's a whiff of scandal here. Maybe it has to do with the fact that Joseph doesn't have two nickels to rub together. And then there's the shepherds. The shepherds were the lowest of the bottom rung of Jewish society. And these Magi are the highest of high. If they're able to afford an expedition, I don't know about you, but if it would be a hardship for me to say, you know what, today I'm going to just go off and go find baby Jesus somewhere, and I'm going to put all my calls on into voicemail, and I'm going to traipse out there, and I'm going to find a way to worship this child who I don't know. So they've got to have means where everybody else in the story doesn't have means. And then these amazing gifts. They give these amazing gifts to a child. Now, I don't know what they were expecting, but I think they had it wrong. I'm pretty sure they were not expecting to go to the stable. Can you imagine taking gold and frankincense and myrrh and giving that to an infant? I mean, what does an infant need gold for? I'm sure Mary and Joseph were happy for it because now they've got some money, they've got some finances, but what do they need that for? What does Jesus need that for? And then frankincense. Frankincense was used in religious functions to make the sanctuary smell nice. It was used in political functions to make the royal palaces smell nice. It wasn't used in stables. And then myrrh was a kind of spa oil. If you were going to have a fancy spa, it was also used in funeral things for embalming purposes. But it was for a nice spa day. Well, Mary and Joseph and Jesus don't need a spa. I doubt they ever had a spa in all their whole entire lives. And so these wise men are on the outside looking in, and that was probably the first time in their lives that had ever been that position. I mean, they always had the best of everything. They always had the wealth. They always had the education. It's sort of like the reverse of Huck Finn. You remember in The Adventures of Tom Sawyer? Remember when Huck Finn gets taken in by the widow Douglas? He's been living on the streets. He's been playing hooky and everything. And Huck Finn says, I don't know if I want to get civilized. I don't know if I want to be taken in by the widow. And the biggest thing that Huck Finn is upset about in the end of Tom Sawyer is that he's going to have to give up smoking his pipe and cussing. And he doesn't know if he can do it or not. And it's like the reverse of that. It's the same thing here with the wise men, wondering if they really fit. If they really fit. Yet it's important because Jesus identifies with the outsiders from his birth on. And it doesn't matter if you're the wealthy outsider or the poor outsider. But who does Jesus spend most of his time with? Not with Herod. He spends time with the outsider, with the people who don't feel like they belong, with the left out, with those who are poor in body or mind or strength or spirit. Jesus spends an amazing amount of time with people who brought the wrong gifts for the baby. Jesus spends an amazing amount of time with people who don't understand what his mission and ministry is. Jesus spends an amazing amount of time telling his disciples, I'm going to die because of the sins of the world, and in 3 days I'll be raised up. And the disciples say, well, we'd like to sit with you in heaven so that we can get some of that glory. And Jesus doesn't say, you know what, forget it, I'm starting over. He spends time trying to show them really what's going to happen. Jesus spends time with the outsiders. He spends time with the Huck Finns and the Magi. He spends time with those who never felt accepted a single day in their life. And throughout all of human history, I think that's what this meal means. Jesus offering himself in bread and cup. It's about people who sometimes don't feel like they've got it together. How many people have come to communion in the 2,000 years of Christian history just to hear the words that they're accepted? Just to hear the words that they are no longer outsiders to Jesus? How many people have come for some sort of healing and have received it? How many people have come for some sort of acceptance and found it? How many people have come empty-handed just to receive from Jesus' hand? Here at this table, we know that we are loved. We know that Christ Jesus loves us and accepts us and pulls us into his understanding, his feelings about God, his understanding about redemption and about new starts. So at the beginning of a new year, we accept that we, like the three kings. Sometimes we bring the wrong gifts. Sometimes we start off on the wrong foot. But here, none of that matters. We just receive from Christ grace upon grace. Amen.